This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast. This is the Holy Eucharist, Rite 2, for June 30th, 2024.
Good morning, church. Good morning. It's so good to see all of you. I missed you last Sunday. If you didn't know, I was at General Convention for the Episcopal Church. We elected a new presiding bishop. So please read about him. I hear there was a small article in the E-News about the Right Reverend Sean Rowe, and we're very excited to welcome him as our next presiding bishop. I just have a couple of announcements for today. Tonight at 5 p.m., normally on Sunday nights at 5, we have the Celtic service, but tonight we are going to celebrate the Reverend Pauli Murray, who was the first African-American priest to be, a female priest to be ordained in the Episcopal Church. So we are going to celebrate her feast day today at General Convention. She was added to our commemoration of saints. So it's a very exciting time to be celebrating her life and ministry. So please come at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a compline service, and then we're going to have pizza and watch a documentary about her life. So it's going to be a great time together. I don't think there are any other announcements. If you are visiting with us for the first time, in the back of your bulletin, there's a QR code there so that you can get to know the church a bit better and we can get to know you better. And we'd love for you to scan that and tell us a bit about yourself. We're glad you're here today. And Hannah is in the back. She is welcoming elementary school aged kids to join her in the chapel for Donuts and Jesus. I see the donuts. I know Jesus is there. So if you want to go with Hannah right now and enjoy children's worship, you'll come back in time for Eucharist. So I think that's all for announcements. If you would please stand and join me in singing the opening hymn.
Thank you.
Blessed be our God.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple, acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the Wisdom of Solomon. God did not make death, and he does not delight in the death of the living. For he created all things so that they might exist. The generative forces of the world are wholesome, and there is no destructive poison in them. And the dominion of Hades is not on earth. For righteousness is immortal. God created us for incorruption, and made us in the image of his own eternity. But through the devil's envy, death entered the world, and those who belong to his company experience it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our response for this morning comes from the book of Lamentations. We'll read it together in unison. This I call to mind, and therefore
I hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. As you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year, not only to do something, but even desire to do something, now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing in according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to the one who has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow them except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "The little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I can't believe it. It's only June, and we've already have a stewardship drive going, thanks to St. Paul's letter. "It is appropriate for you," he says, "who began to give last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, that is, to pledge." So it looks like a stewardship call, but that's not really fair. This passage is actually much more than that, because what Paul is doing here is he's giving to the church in Corinth his theology in action. He's giving to them his spirituality extended to the practical realm. Proclaim Jesus Christ crucified and risen. With that foundation, become the church of Jesus Christ. And then become a community of followers, all building up the church with the same spirit working in each of us. And then the practical application. With the church working in us, how do we treat each other and how do we connect? Paul begins this passage today by saying, "As you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking," by which he means help for the Macedonian churches who are struggling, including the Philippian and the Thessalonian churches. And good job, Paul, for starting your fundraising plea with a bit of flattery before asking them to excel in generosity. Generosity for Paul has several implications, including blessing, grace, and a general sense of something overflowing, like the 23rd Psalm's image of a cup running over, or overflowing like the explosion of the volcano that you get when you mix baking soda and Coke inside a papier-mâché mountain in fifth grade. Overflowing. But for me, generosity brings to mind one thing, the Chinese banquet. Maybe because I'm hungry, maybe because I miss those celebrations so much. The Chinese people in their history have excelled in a lot of things, creating a sensible, easy-to-learn language not being one of them. But food is one thing they excel at, and banquets are the most excellent of their excelling, and their banquets are a model of generosity. Those banquets are normally big family affairs celebrating a wedding or the birth of a child or a milestone birthday for an elder. Anywhere between 3 and 50 large round tables of 8 to 10 diners, in the center of which sits a turntable for passing the food around. One story has it that Thomas Jefferson invented those turntables because his daughter Susan complained that she was always the last one to be served at dinner time. Thus, you hear us talking about the lazy Susan, which I will not do out of respect for the Susans in this congregation. I know you're there. They're turntables. So on each table, on the turntables, you'll find a pot of tea, a bottle of Belfast sparkling cider, and a quart bottle of Seagram 7 for some reason. The food comes a few minutes apart like a parade, one after the other, 8 to 10 courses, first the bird's nest soup or the shark's fin soup before that was illegal, then the main dishes, abalone, whole fish and soy ginger sauce, mushrooms with mustard greens, roast quail, 8 to 10 dishes, only the host knows what's coming next. But we all know what the last dish will be. The pièce de résistance, or however you say it in Chinese, the famous Peking duck. You don't get this stuff at Panda Express. At these dinners, there is such an abundance, and you may get more of one dish and less of another, but there is always more than enough to go around. The thing is, though, these dishes with the food piled high are just props at these banquets. The food is just an excuse for the company. What matters in these banquets are the diners. With all these people, talking is generous and convivial and going on all at once. Everybody talks, nobody listens. Chinese banquets are an explosion of generosity, from the overflowing turntable of food to the raucous atmosphere of good company. It's a beloved company that we experience for an evening. Our biblical writers have in mind, of course, the heavenly banquet at God's beloved community that they want us to recreate and promote and participate in and celebrate. In God's beloved community, we experience what in this limited world of ours we don't recognize yet, that from God pours out an overflowing turntable of graces, both material and spiritual, a veritable explosion of generosity of God's gifts. And there is never any need to hoard our riches. There may be more of one and less of another for me, but there is always plenty, if only we could exercise the same generosity that Jesus Christ exercised for us. No one has too much or too little, but we are encouraged to share our abundance freely according to what we are able to give. So that world, the beloved community of God, if only we can see it, is a world of abundance that began with God's own self-giving, to Jesus Christ's own self-giving, overflowing to us all. And the abundance that is on the turntable of God's banquet, the abundance of resources, material and spiritual, have been given for us, not to be hoarded, but to be shared with one another, shared both out of our need or out of our gratitude. That's how we acknowledge the good news that God reconciled the whole world through Christ. The whole world, not just the lucky, not just the smart, not just the best, but the whole world. We acknowledge the good news that God reconciled the whole world through Christ when we then go out and share that good news with the world. We acknowledge the good news when we share the gifts of God's heavenly banquet with the world, and especially with those in the world who need God's love and God's forgiveness the most, because they don't know about God's love and God's forgiveness unless we tell them. So notice that generosity is always accompanied by community of love and support. A generous life always involves love and connections, because you can't be generous with somebody you hate, and you can't be generous in isolation, living on your little island with only the palm tree as your company. Grace and generosity enhance community, while community fosters generosity. They work together. So generosity is also connected to a trust in God and in God's promise of God's abundance. God's heavenly banquet is furnished by a big round table, a circle of trust made for sharing. And in the center of that table is a turntable of plenty where all share in God's rich bounty, a bounty of compassion, forgiveness, mercy, welcome, and all the fruits of the Spirit. And so, as Paul says, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. As with our Chinese banquets, the food is important, but the food, the graces, and the gifts is there to hold up the company. What matters to God is the diners, and the generous gifts of God are there to feed the diners, to feed us. We, all of us diners at the heavenly banquet, are beloved and precious to God. And that's why God asks us to feed the others who are also precious and beloved. It's an economy of compassion. It's an experiment in trust that as we give, we are also given. As we are loved, so may we love. As we are forgiven, so may we forgive. That's what Paul is getting at in this passage, as he puts it all together in this little stewardship letter. From the example of Jesus, who became poor for us so that we might be rich, to the eagerness of us in the church to follow his example, to the loving and equitable sharing of one another's abundance and need, with the end of excelling in the grandest experiment of all, God's experiment of a world where God's love reigns over all, and we have all done our part as God's beloved. So that, to paraphrase a line from one of Jesus' parables, God will say to us, "Well done, good and generous servant." Amen.
Amen.
In heart or body, as we say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen,
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, she is worshiped and glorified. She has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. For the peace and unity of the Church of God. For Michael, our presiding bishop, and Kristen, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in the church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King. We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them. O Lord, our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you.
Glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please stand as you are able. And may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God.
Jésus, devant vous, à genoux.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await Christ's coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Please stand in body or spirit and let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, as you leave this place, go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit be among you now and remain with you unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Oh,
cease to love and serve our God. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.